in us now. Let your Holy Spirit work in our lives right now as we prepare ourselves to listen to the most precious thing, which is your holy word. And Lord, we pray that your power will work in and through each and every one of us through your Holy Spirit, that will show us the things that we need to see and discard the things that we don't need to see today, and to take us deeper in our understanding of your word and greater in our knowledge of you, and also to understand the part that we play in this thing called church. Amen. Amen. Beryl, would you come and bring us the reading? I haven't forgotten. That was good, wasn't it? Just because I've got big notes that say Beryl.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27, unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Great. Thank you. Well, good morning, body. I'm going to sit down, that's okay. And just want to explain that we'll continue our series. If you're visiting this morning, we're doing a series called Embracing God's Design for the Church. And we've been looking at different aspects of the church, and we've been looking at the aspects of what does God say about it. So what have we done so far? We've done giving. What else? Evangelism. Prayer. Help me out.
Discipleship.
And the Word. Thank you, Claire, for being here this morning. So we're moving on today to membership. And what I want to say, just as the start of this, is I find a lot of inspiration from David Platt, who's a pastor in the USA, who's written a lot about this. And just want to say that I'll be incorporating quite a lot of what he thinks from a biblical perspective this morning. But also want to say this, that it's a really hard thing to talk about, because today, from the 9 o'clock service to this service, I would have spoken to maybe 300 people about this subject. And you've all got different views, and you've all got different opinions, and you've all got different understandings. And And I'll say the 9 o'clock service went okay to the end, but we all have different opinions and different views. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to share with you what I believe it looks like, this thing called membership, or let's use the word this thing called belonging, or let's use this word this thing called community. I think the use of the English word in membership in our culture today really doesn't help in terms of how we think how the church should be, because membership today is something you pay for and then something you never go and be part of. You pay a membership for it and then you never do it. Is that not true, or is it just me with the gym? I went several times this week, and may God be my witness, I did. I didn't just go out in the car and wet my towel and bring it back wet and tell my wife I really went swimming. I know, somebody once did that, you know, in my old church on staff team, but you don't know them, so it doesn't matter. So what I want to do today is I want to share some perspectives of what people understand or some of the reasons why they don't really engage in community. Then I want to share with you what I think is scriptural. Something I'm going to share with you is scriptural, but I have to say it's been the hardest thing that I've had to deal with in 4.5 years as your pastor. And then I want to look at what does it mean then for us to, what does it mean for us to do membership, belonging, community in God's way, and what abundance will come from that. It's often said that Christians approach church attenders like a dating relationship. In our new church culture, new society, we can jump from one church to the other. When we get a bit tired of one church, we can go to the other. Thankfully, that's not many of us in this room, or you probably wouldn't be here. But we can jump from church to church, or if we want to go and engage in a different type of church, we can go to a larger setting, a smaller setting. We can go to different locations to do it. We often attend a different church, some people often attend a different church each week, which, thank God, is not us. But being a Christian is about being part of the global church, but also about being part of the local church. So what's the point of being a member? What's the point of belonging? What's the point of gathering? Is it just to have a simple business meeting and vote? Some of you will say today that you don't even get the opportunity to do that. Sorry about that. They certainly doesn't seem to be that's the way forward. A church is about how we gather to create a godly community, seeking God as the head and looking at how we do life together. But let me just give you 6 things that is in a book written by Mr. Platt, Reverend Platt, about this whole subject. He says this, 6 reasons why we do things differently. We date the church because we are independent people who live a very independent life in a very independent culture. We are self-made, we are self-reliant, and we're self-sufficient. And through our mutual, we are self-made, self-reliant, and self-sufficient. Ever heard anybody say that about you, maybe? And through the thought of mutual commitment, submission, accountability, interdependence in a church seems a foreign and frightening concept to us. We are skeptical, maybe some people are, because actually church has been something to them that it shouldn't have been. So the first thing we want to say is sometimes we date church, sometimes we don't fully engage in the life of church, in this community, into membership, into full relationship, is because we're independent people. We like to do what we like to do. Have you ever realized that? Or is it just me? Second thing, we date the church because we are indecisive. We cannot decide the church that we like. We apply the consumer mentality to church. It's like going on the shopping list. It's the best package on a Sunday morning. We like the preaching here, but we like the teaching here. We like the teaching here, but we like the worship here. We like the children's here. We like the pastor here. We like the pastor there. And so often people don't grow or engage in a church community because they're indecisive. Thirdly, we don't engage in a church community because sometimes we're immature. And you might say, well, why is that? Well, actually, I've often heard people who think people think they're spiritual say this: I don't believe in church. I could grow in my faith with the Lord Jesus Christ on my own. So actually, we don't often engage in church because we feel that actually we're too mature for that. Well, how do you put then Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 into context? Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made himself ready. How do you put Ephesians 5? For the husband is the head of of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. You see, we sometimes hear people say that they're too mature for the church. The church is too immature for them. But actually, they sometimes say that actually they can grow in their spirituality by going online or watching podcasts or just having an independent relationship with Jesus. Asked when asked about their spirituality, those people say that they can do it all on their own and don't need any response from anybody else. Number four, we date the church because our view is incomplete, because we've reduced the church to just meaning a simply coming along on a Sunday to listen to sermons and to see our best friends, rather than what the church is intended to be, which is for us to gather together as God's community to do life together, more about that later, and as we do life together, to fulfill the great commission of God together. We date the church because we date the church because we have such a busy life. We date the church because actually we date the church because we get choked up with the daily things of life, the different obligations, the different responsibilities that we have on Sunday. And actually we date the church because we don't actually come to it as often as we should because of all the other obligations in our life that take the priority of committing to gather with God's people. Committing our time to gather with God's people is the most important thing that we should do, because it's being with God's people through the Holy Spirit's presence there that we grow in our faith. Now, the reality is the people that allow the church to be the last thing on their agenda for them to even come to church are probably not even here today. They may listen to it online or not. Sixthly, we date the church because we date the church because we are indifferent to the church. Many have even understood that we don't commit ourselves to the church because we've become indifferent of it, because we've lost its we've lost the understanding of its identity and its purpose. And some of those six things that I just shared, maybe some of you in this room will say, well, I've never not engaged in church because of those things. And actually the reality is that maybe that is true for many of us, but for some of us, we may have not engaged in church life fully because we're indecisive, because we're too individualistic, because we think we're more mature in our faith and we don't need to gather with God's people. Or maybe it's because we have understood that church is different than what it really is. It's become incomplete in our minds. So what I want us to do today is to look at what church is supposed to be. According to many church growth experts, they say this, that actually the more you put a line in the sand about membership and getting people to commit, the more the church will not grow. The reality is that we have to listen to what the world has to say, but also when it comes to being believers of Jesus, we have to look back to the roots of what happened and why the people of God needed to gather for fellowship. So, the Bible teaches that committing yourself to a meaningful relationship in the local church is a priority of following life with Jesus. The Bible speaks time and time and time and time and time and time again. If you don't trust me, go and have a look. The Bible teaches that we need to be committed in a meaningful relationship in the local church so that we can engage with that to help our fellowship with God grow. Now, there's the global church. We're all part of the global church. The global church is all the other churches in the world that we're part of. But God calls us to serve in his local church. Commitment to the church should be a high priority, a priority that shapes our priorities. Commitment to the church, if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, commitment to the church should be a priority that shapes your other priorities. Challenging. Okay, maybe just to me. It should shape the way you think about all that you do. Amidst the business of family commitments, church being together as God designed his people to be together should first and foremost be our priority. So when I think about membership or belonging or being in God's community, what does it actually look like? I think there are things that we do in this church which we call membership or community which aren't really community or membership at all. So let's look together at what the Bible teaches about what it means to be in community, to be in membership, to belong. The Bible teaches that the believers of Christ should not be church avoiders or church attenders, or church hoppers, or church shoppers, but we should be followers of Christ in a relationship of commitment, of belonging. Some will use the word membership. We see the importance of church belonging, commitment, or membership in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27, which was so beautifully read for us. Thank you. In those 16 verses, did you notice this? That Christians are referred to be as a member or part of Christ's body 36 times, with each individual having an important function in the overall life of the body. Did you see that? So there's in these small verses, so there was 16 verses, and in those 16 verses, the word member or part of Christ refers to that 36 times, with each individual having an important function in the overall life of the body. Then this is not the global church. This is talking about the local church, you and I. The Bible has a number of expectations that it wants that local church to do together. The Bible explains that to follow Christ, we need to have an identity in that local church, to be part of that body, to be part of that member. As we've read already in that passage, if we don't have that one part, the other part doesn't work together. And in a culture where we dip in and we dip out, where the hands sometimes come and the feet don't, and then the bodies come and the eyes don't, how can we be effective as a body if not every part plays its part? Question. Answers on a postcard. And I would really like to know. But the primary new word for the New Testament is ecclesia, which means to gather. When it talks in the New Testament about the church, it calls this word ecclesia, where it talks about the gathering of God's people. The church, then, is a gathering of believers. The church is a gathering of believers. It's when you and I gather together, wherever we gather together as a group of believers, and in that place, then we do life. We belong as a group of people gathered together as believers. There are so many times in the New Testament when we refer to the global church, but here we think about the local church. Out of the 114 times where we see the word ecclesia, the New Testament's word for this whole understanding of gathering as believers, 114 times when we see it, at least 90 of those times refer to the specific of the local group of people gathering together. For example, Paul writes to the church of God in Corinth, a specific group of people. In Romans 16, Paul refers to his fellow workers, Priscilla and Aquila, and sends them greetings in the church in their house. In the book of Revelation, Jesus writes letters to the seven churches, and he addresses those local churches in their local places. So actually, if we realize that the church of God is about gathering the people who believe in Christ to understand the purpose that we have in Christ to do the things of Christ. So then how do we do that? How do we do that? That's what membership is. It's about gathering the community of God's people together, the ecclesia, the group of gathering of believers together, all of the same mind, all in the same place, to seek the work of the Lord together. It's not about agendas, and it's not about did you get your notes, or was there a spelling mistake in the pre-meeting notes. Even though that may be important, it's not about that. Membership is about those community of God's people coming together and seeking after the will of God together to do the life that God has called them to do together. And the Bible speaks about that time and time again. So each local gathering is a place where we come to identify with Christ, with one another, and seek the will of God together. So that's what the church is. That's what membership is. It's belonging to that gathering of believers in that place that God has called you to be. And then seeking to ask the question, Lord, what will I do? What will I use? I've got a hand. And that's not a very good one. This one's better. I've got a hand. And in this body, I need to use my hand. And for this time, or then I've got to use my eyes, and it's understanding what part of your body do you need to use in this body for you to be, for us to be the body of Christ, to be who God has called us to be. So do you understand that that's very different from saying we're members? Now, I understand the Baptist membership. We've all done Baptist history and principles and membership and all the rest of it. But I want to refer to it as about, it's about belonging. It's about doing community. It's about living together. It's about being together. It's about seeking God together. It's about doing life together. And this shouldn't be something new to you. I've been banging on about it for 5 years, nearly, 4.5. It shouldn't be something new to us. Because it's not, people tell me it's Peru. It's not Peru. It's biblical understanding of church. This community gathering, this ecclesia, this bringing our gifts together in the church of God to see how we can best use those gifts. See, that's what belonging to a church is about. That's what membership is about. It's about saying, God, how will I use my parts to further the kingdom in this place? But it's not just about using your parts, is it? It's also about the way we live. And the way that we do life among each other. Now, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Anybody else a sinner saved by grace? Only a few of us. Amen. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And actually, every single one of us likes things our way a bit, don't we? Give me some nods or something. We do, don't we? And all of us are part of families, but we like to do things our way, even if we're part of a family. I'm a family of four. My family are extremely gracious to me right now, but I'm a family of four, and sometimes I like to do things the way I like to do them. And my family are like, why do you do it like that? That's crazy. Because even in families, we like to do things the way we like to do. And then you multiply that, and you say that we're called a part of a church family. Then you put 350 or 400 of us together in a room, and then you understand why it sometimes gets a bit complex. But actually, if we're all focusing on the will of the Father and the direction that the Father wants us to go to, and not our own personalities and our own personal lives, I think that we'll achieve a lot more together. The Bible explains that the followers of Christ must be in community for another reason. And I'll share this. This is the bit I thought, should I share, shouldn't I? I'll share it because I believe it's biblical. See, when we gather together, ecclesia, when we gather together in God's community, we need to work together. We need to somehow have a system where we work well together. The Bible explains it in this way, that followers of Christ must be there to be served and to submit to those who have authority over them. Now, before you go, well, he's going off on one, just listen to me for a few moments, please. In the book of Hebrews, Christians are given this commandment. When we think about gathering together as God's community, we must identify which one we belong to, which local church we belong to, and we must serve in that context using the gifts that God has given us, and we must submit to the local church leadership, and we must also look to have accountability from them and for us to them also. You see, obeying your leaders and submitting to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give account to you. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, let them do this with joy and with not groaning, that they would have no advantage to me. But let me just stop and say this. The pastor preaching on this verse isn't saying, look at me, I want to have authority over you. But actually, if you think that, you've ignored the second part of the scripture. Because the second part of the scripture says this. They, the church leaders, are watching over your souls as those who have to give account for you. They, the church leaders, are watching over your souls as those who will have to give account for you. Each pastor will stand, I believe this, each pastor will stand before God as they give account for the people that they lead. But notice, he or she will not have responsibility for every believer in the global church, but he or she will have responsibility for those he has called in local to be part of that local church. Now stay with me for a moment. We have to gather as God's people in community, but actually, I don't know about you, but I need accountability. in my life. I need people to make sure that I do what's right and not do what's wrong. I need people to do that in a loving way, in a caring way, to help me grow in my faith so that I could use the parts that God has given me in my body more effectively. And it says here that as we gather together in God's community and God's relationship and God's design for what he wants his church to be, it says that we need to identify to belong to a local church, but we need to serve it and we need to be submissive to the local leaders in that church that have authority over us. Now, I know in this church, and this is the point, 4.5 years I've been here, many people don't believe this, and some people believe this and some people don't. I see it in Scripture. Let me just say that it's not an easy one. It's not an easy one because it'd be better to stack the shelves in Tesco's than it would to stand accountable for God's people one day. But you see, when we live in community, we need to make sure that we are held accountable so that we live the most fruitful life that God wants us to have. And actually, God might do that in belonging to part of a community by calling men and women who are called and set apart from God to have authority in that location, under the authority of Christ, Spirit-filled, under the authority of Christ, to help that community to be church, to help that membership, that community, that gathering, that ecclesia, to fulfill the purposes of God that they have. Because actually, until we take away some of the things that we haven't taken away before, then we can't fully be the people that we were, that God wants us to be. It says in Acts chapter 20 and 1 Peter chapter 5, keep watch over yourselves and all your flock of your Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he has bought with his own blood. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over them, but entrusting them, but being examples to the flock also. This is one reason why it is important for pastors, I believe, to know which people are part of their flock. And actually, we've got a large membership, but we've got lots of people that do point 1 to 6. They dip in and they dip out. And then you have to wonder, as a pastor, who are you accountable for? Who are you accountable for? Who do you stand accountable before? This thing kind of keeps me up at night. It probably should, because it's important. But on the other hand, God's word commands every follower of Christ to be obedient and submit to those around them, not just leaders, but to each other. Have confidence, it says, in your leaders and submit to their authority because they will keep watch over your souls and will give account to you. Do this so they will have much joy over you. But then later on it goes on to say, but also have accountability and love for each other. This doesn't mean Christians are obliged to submit to every authority in the global church, but actually as a gathered ecclesia, as a gathered community of people, we are called under the authority to God to submit to one another and so to submit the leaders that have authority over us. And actually, how do we lead the church on if that isn't possible? How do we take the church to where we want the church to go if that is not possible? And what I want to say just finally on that point, and I don't think I've taken it out of context, because I think actually when we think about membership, we have to talk about belonging and being part of a community of God's people, then actually we all have a responsibility to hold each other accountable, but in Christian love. To keep each other accountable in Christian love, don't we? So that we grow together in this community that God has called us to be part of, so that we can fulfill the part that we need to play to be the people he's called us to be, so that actually the community of God's people in this place grow. Members of a church are not just accountable to each other, but we are ultimately accountable to God. So there's first 6 reasons why we don't come to church, and then we look at this whole aspect of we need to be part of a body, a gathering, an ecclesia. We need to be part of a community, and in that community, membership to me looks about being accountable to one another in that. Being accountable to one another in love and helping each other in love to achieve the things that God is calling us to do together. But within that, you can't have a group of people, this volume of people, Well, no, it's actually, no, Scott, that's nonsense. It's nothing about volume. It's about Scripture. Scripture says that God calls some to have authority over his people. Let me tell you, it's not something you would choose. It's something that God calls you to do, and it's a real privilege. But you see, in community, in church, when we think about belonging, we have to think about what it means to be in a relationship. Well, it's not about church meetings and membership notes, really. It's more about how we do community together and how we live together and how we submit to Christ. And in submitting Christ, submitting to one another. And by submitting to one another, we encounter Christ and we grow. And as we encounter God and we grow, we use our hands and we use our legs and we use the parts of the body more effectively for Christ. You see, membership of a church is not just about accountability to each other, but it's about accountability to God. It says in Acts chapter 2, I won't read it all, believe me or write it down, Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 6, talks about how church members are accountable for choosing and appointing with honor the people that God has called them to lead them. So when you call pastors, if you're not doing it in that way, then you've done it wrong. But also the church of God together, as you and I, together we are called by God to choose those who will have authority over us, to help us be accountable, not because they're perfect, but just because we sense at this time that's God's calling. And also Galatians chapter 1, 6 to 9, and 2 Peter 4, chapter 1 to 2, we're also called as this gathering of God's people for making sure that the gospel is preached in the church. That's what membership is about. It's about, and belonging is about, it's about calling the right people to lead over us. It's calling the right people to lead us and to focus on the things that God is calling us to do. But also, it's about making sure that the gospel is preached from this pulpit, the gospel is preached from everything that we do, and that the church and the community of God grows. It's also, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, is about commissioning missionaries and equipping the saints of the church to go and serve the people of God in the world. You see, that's what community church is about. That's what membership is about. It's about belonging in a family of God's people to live together under the authority of God through his people that he has put in place for us to then be people that are accountable to them and them to us, making sure that the gospel is preached and making sure that we commission those who are served and anointed by God to go out and do the work of God. We haven't sent out one missionary yet, have we? Not really. We sent some action teams out, and that's fantastic. And everyone we send out, I pray that God will grab hold of them and make them full-time missionaries. And you never know, he might. But you see, the thing is, we need to, when we think about membership, we need to understand about church belonging, what we are called to do. Now, put all those things in context as a foundation, if you can for a moment. So if you want to, discard number 1 to 6. Or be honest with God and say, well, actually, I sometimes don't engage fully in church because of one of those 1 to 6 things. If you're big enough and bold enough and strong enough and godly enough, then allow the Spirit to challenge you on those things of 1 to 6. But in the foundation context, that actually we are called to be a group of God's people seeking after the heart of God, being accountable together, then what does church life look like then? What does membership look like? Well, I want to say this, based on what I've already said, that God's design for the church is made up of members who are committed to one another, just spoken about that, who are committed to those who God has called to have authority over them, are committed to the work of the Lord. He has not designed the church. The church was not designed for it to be a passive thing that we sit and watch on the stage from afar. You've heard my quote, haven't you? Sitting on the sofa. I'm not saying that today, but I usually say that. Well, I have, I just said it. But the church is designed to do this. The church is a community that shares the gospel together. So when we think about membership and belonging, this is what we should be talking about. We should be talking about that we are a community that shares the gospel together. We should be talking about that we are a community that make disciples together. Let me ask you a question. Who's discipling you today? Some of you just went like this. So who's discipling you today? Because membership and belonging to a community of God's people is about discipleship. It's about who are you discipling today? And if If we ask that question, we have to ask the question too, and I missed it out by talking discipling it. We can't just be disciples. We have to be discipling others. So actually, about membership and belonging to a community of God's church is not about all the things that we think it is about. It's about making disciples who are making disciples. That's what church community and church membership is about. It's about us as disciples being discipled. And it's also about us as disciples discipling others. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying have a cup of tea and a cappuccino in Costa or Starbucks. That's friendship. I'm talking about discipleship. And one of my upsetting things in my soul is that I think sometimes we've got a little bit of blip in a certain age in our church to do with trying to get new leaders, because I wonder if they've been discipled before. And hence, we've got a bit of a void. We need to be a people that disciple, are being discipled and disciple others. That's what membership to a community of God's people called church is about. That's not in the Constitution. Well, it is actually, if you look. Making disciples. But also as a community of God's people, membership in a church means about making disciples that are making disciples and being discipled. But also it talks about being a member. It talks about we need to pray together. You only need to look at our prayer meetings during the week to realize that we don't pray together that often. We need to pray together. That's what being a member and being part of God's community is about. It's about praying together, interceding together, discerning God together, asking God what He wants us to do. It's also about giving of our gifts. That's not puppets, by the way, Martin and Mark. That's hands, by the way. It's about using our gifts. It's about our gifts, using our gifts together, our hands and our feet and our mouths and our tongues. But it's also about financial giving. Financial giving is down this year. Financial giving hasn't increased in the last 3 years, generally speaking. So being part of a God's community membership means making disciples who make disciples, praying together. Now, notice I'm not talking about praying on your own. That's a given, isn't it? We should all pray on our own every day. And if you don't, I don't know how you get through. Tell me, because I don't know how you do it. But I'm talking about together, membership, community, ecclesia, gathering as God's community. We should pray together. We should give together of our talents and our giving. We should hurt together. And I would say as a church under my leadership, I don't know if the two are linked. Maybe they are, I don't know. We've hurt together as a church. We have hurt together. We've lost some great people in my leadership. Both those who have died. I'm mainly speaking about those who have died, I think. I don't know if we've lost others that have moved on. Maybe a few, but, you know. But we've hurt together. We have done that. We have hurt together. And we've hurt together because of what we've gone through together. And some of what we've gone through together, the church, and why we've hurt together so much is maybe because we haven't really done ecclesia as well as we probably should have done. So we give together, we hurt together, we laugh together. We laugh together, we build community. Laughter brings true identity, somebody once said. Laughter brings true identity. When you laugh with people, then you're normally being real with them and not just being false. So laugh together. And also to share life together. I could tell you in this church about the groups. I can tell you this church, that even though we are a church of 300 and 400 people, I can tell you right now, the people that are lonely, the people that are isolated, the people that nobody speaks to, the people that nobody cares for. Not because we're nasty people, just because we haven't really switched on our minds of what it means to do community together. We need to share life together. We need to share our ups and downs together. We need to share our joys and sorrows together. You see, membership for me is about making disciples that make disciples, praying together, giving together, hurt together, laugh together, and pray together. Membership is not primarily about voting at a meeting or coming to a church members' meeting, but it's about being committed in community to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's about us being committed to one another in Christ. It's like us going the extra mile for one another, sacrificing what we have for each other, giving up the things that we don't need for you and you for me. You see, that's what community and and gathering and life is all about. And people say, well, you can't do it like in the church this side. Yes, you can. You can't do it in this modern world. Yes, you can. Is it countercultural? Yes, it is. Did Jesus say he would be? Yes, he did. Are we willing to accept that? Open-ended question. You answer it for yourself. But you see, when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ, he went later on in 1 Corinthians 13 and spoke about what? What did he speak about 1 Corinthians 13? Love. And I don't think that's by any accident, because the word is the word. It's breathed and inspired by God. And let me finish with this. It's after Paul mentioned about what the church needs to be in community, we need to be part of the body where we do all those things that I've just described. When we do all those things that I've just described, disciples that make disciples, pray together, give together, hurt together, laugh together, share life together. When we do those things, we encounter the love of God. And in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaks a lot about the love of God and how the love of God will transform the nation and the love of God will transform our communities. You see, the love of God is the things that help us do community and membership and belonging. Because love helps us to say sorry. Love helps us to forgive. Love helps us to accept that quirk in somebody else when actually we've got them ourselves. Love helps us do life together. Because when we think about the love that we've just seen demonstrated before us today on this table, who are we then? Who are we then to say that nobody's accepted and nobody's welcome and nobody's part of this community? Who are we to say that nobody could be part of this community? It's because of the transforming love of Christ that has transformed our lives that also then transforms us to help us to be a community that God wants us to be. We are designed by God to love in community and to be committed in community. Membership, belonging, family. We all have a different understanding of what it means. But I want to say, with my heart on my sleeve, as it always is, that for me, church membership and church community is about doing all these things that I've described today. Are they sacrificial? Will they cost? Absolutely. Will they build up the kingdom? Absolutely. Will I be built up because the kingdom is being built up? Absolutely. Will the love of Christ be demonstrated more in the world than he ever has been before? Absolutely. You see, the church is a critical part of the community. But the church that is handless or footless or earless or eyeless has no power at all. But when the church has its hands at the ready and its feet ready to march and its ears ready to listen and its eyes wide open to see the things of God, then the church marches forward into the things that Christ calls for it to do. Do not underestimate each and every one of you here today. Hear it from me if you need to. For those who don't believe I say it enough, hear it from me right now. Do not underestimate the role every single one of you in this place today has in this community of God's people. God has designed each and every one of us here today, apart from those who are visiting, but you can come back. Every one of us that is here today, God has designed each and every one of us here today to be in this place today for a reason today. To use the gifts that God has given to us in the ecclesia, the community of gathering of God's people, under the authority of God and the godly leaders that he calls us to be made accountable, but to grow stronger in Christ, to do the things that Christ has called us to do. See, it says in John 13:35, by this, will all men know then that you are my disciples? You see, membership is about discipleship. Membership is about living with one another to fulfill the call of God on our lives as a community of God's people for such a time as this. And it's the time and the season, isn't it? I'm here now, I won't be here forever. I can guarantee you that. but for a time and a season. God calls this body of his people, the membership of his church, to be focused on what he's called them to do, to achieve the goal that he's called them to achieve. So what's membership for us? Membership is every member being equipped for ministry. It's three expressions of New Testament church. It's 100 people in the kingdom. It's real disciples making new disciples. It's being serious about prayer and so much more. I'm grateful to God for each and every one of you. And for those who are part of our community, if you're not, you've had a letter from me about a week ago about coming to a meeting with me about membership and about belonging. But more importantly than that, I want to ask you two things in closing. If you're part of this ecclesia, this gathering, this community, if you believe that this is where God wants you to be, I just want to say to you, would you be? If God's called you to be, would you be? And if God hasn't called you to be, then go and be where he's called you to be. But if he's called you to be here, then be. Because we need, more than ever before, his church to be his church. And to me, membership is not about all the other things that we think of it being, but it's about us being where God has called us to be. And using the things that he's called us to have in our hands and our feet to further his kingdom. And if that's you, if you are called by God to be in this place, I thank God for you. And I do. I do take that scripture really seriously in Hebrews. Anjanette will tell you. I often talk to Anjanette about it. She tells me to relax. But Hebrews says that I'm called by God to pray for you and to love you. And forgive me if I haven't loved you as well as I could have done at times. But my intention is always to love you. But I pray for you, and I pray for me. And I pray that together, as members of this family, belonging to this community, that we would be faithful to one another, to God, to our leaders, and to one another, to achieve the things that God calls us to do for his glory. That's a different sermon than you might have thought about membership, but that's what I think it's all about. Under God's authority and under God's spirit. Amen. Let's pray. The band, you better come and close this thing down. Father God, I just thank you for your church. And actually, when I say your church, I mean I thank you for your people. I thank you, Father God, for the people in this room. Thank you for the people that are not in this room but are people that are usually in this room and they want to be people that be. And Lord, I pray that you would show grace and favor and that you would place your Spirit's anointing upon us. For us, Father God, to be a community of people, to be members of this place that make disciples, and that laugh together, that pray together, that give together, that hurt together and to laugh together, to people that share the gospel together, and also, so importantly, that we share our life together so that we learn from one another. Father God, together, united by your Spirit, and anointed by your power. There is so much that you have prepared for us to do. And Lord, we all know, if we're really honest, that some of those things that I said right at the start, we could all get caught up in those things. But Lord, I pray that we would make Jesus the priority in our lives today. And that we would make it a priority to be with his people. And as we are with his people, that we would pray that every time we gather, that we encounter you by your Spirit's anointing, that you will raise us up and give us the ability and the tools that we need to serve you. And Lord, it'd be wrong of me to pass this moment by without acknowledging that even in our community, in our gathering as God's people in this community, that there are some of us that are strong today. And there's some of us that are broken today. And Lord, for those of us who are strong today, I pray, Lord, that the strong among us will carry the broken. Because, Lord, we're not loads of individual bodies. We are one body. The body of Christ. So, Father God, as we finish, we just pray that, Lord, anything that I've said today that is not of you, that you will just destroy it now and take it away from people's minds. And Lord, for anything that is of you, I pray that you would use it for your glory. And Lord, I thank you for those who have inspired me and taught me around this subject too. And I thank you for your word and for those who I've read into and researched and listened to that have inspired me to again fully know what I believe. So Father God, I pray that you would build your church. Build your people. Help us to not walk alone, but to be discipled by others. Help us to disciple others. Help us not to think of self, but to think of others in our joys and our sufferings, in our laughter and in our mourning. Father God, give us a unity and a bond that we've dared to ever have before. Make us a stronger people and a stronger army than we've ever been before. So in the coming days, under your grace and under your mercy, we will see revival in Groveford School. We'll see hundreds come to faith in this place, in this community, in this church. That we will see transformation of lives in the mega center, and that we will just see you at work in this community that you call us to live in. But Lord, before we can do any of that, help us to understand the community that we live in, which is the body of Christ. And help us to do the things in that body that will make us stronger. In Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Maybe we'll sing a song. Let's stand. Just before we finish, just I want us to do two things. Sorry, Joe, completely forgot. So why don't you come up briefly and just say what you need to share. I want to hear about the work. Don't be tempted about cream tea. It's not good for you. Well, what I want us to do in closing, I'm just going to pray. And one thing I'm struck by, I love it when, I know the children are here and that's absolutely fine because the children can pray with us. So Trudy Cubley is one of our members. Her son is having brain surgery tomorrow morning. And you know what? It's all a bit meaningless if we just preach what I've just preached, but we don't stop to pray for those in our fellowship that need a touch of his spirit upon them. So, and let me just say that. If you've ever going through anything, right, and you want us to know, Jonathan and Ricky and us, Mike, we would love to receive those emails, not because of what you're going through, but we'd love to receive those. We'll receive those 20 of them every day if you want to pray for you as God's people. So, you know, if you're going through stuff as members or part of this community of God's people in this place, let us know so we can pray. Would you do that? Because, you know, we get lots of emails about lots of other stuff, but we don't get emails about that, so tell us. But we're just going to finish the service today by just praying for Trudy now. And I and her son, who's called?
Stuart.
My mind is just, let's pray. God knows anyway, doesn't he? Father God, we just want to stop for a moment. And Lord, we just want to say, Father God, would you be with Trudy and Ian today? Would you be with Stuart tomorrow? Father God, would you just put your presence around them? We pray, Father God, for his sister as well, Beth, I think. And we just pray, Father God, for tomorrow Lord, we can't pray, we don't know how it will work out, but what we can pray for is we just pray for your presence to be there by your Holy Spirit. Give Trudy the strength and courage, help her to be a good support to Ian, and Ian to her, and to Beth, and Stuart's wife too, and we just ask that you would watch over and have power and authority over the hands of the surgeon as he operates on the brain. And Lord, we love her. We thank you for her. We thank you that she's part of our community. And Lord, we simply just lift her up to you right now and ask, Father God, that she will just know of your mighty presence with her tomorrow, and especially with her son, Stuart. So we commit that situation to you. And Lord, we're believing if you want to do a miracle, do a miracle. We're ready to see one. And so, Father, do that. And Lord, for each and every one of us in this room, Lord, for the seen and the unseen. I think of Lawrence McGee, I can see them straight in front of me. I think of Saskia. But Lord, for the seen and for the unseen, for the things that people will never see within us, and for the things that people see going on around us. Lord, we, as a community of God's people, we end this service by lifting each other to you in prayer, lifting the person to our right and to our left, in front of us and behind us. We commit all of each other. We commit each other up to you in prayer. And Father God, would you walk with us in the coming days? Would you speak to us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us? And would you help us in the battles that we face to know of your presence with us, and for your Spirit's anointing and your Spirit's power, help us to overcome them in Jesus' name. So would you help us, we pray. And we don't do this all the time, but I kind of feel it'd be right to say the grace. Some people got their coats, they're ready to run. Let's say the grace before we go. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. John Powell. As I'm stood on the stage trying to lead God's people, right, out the corner of my eye, all I could describe is John Powell down that corridor doing a waltz or a jive, or what were you doing, darling? Were you having fun? Amen. God bless you all. See you all soon.